Okay, this is continuing talking with John DeWitt Jr. on was the 27 June 78. Okay, continue. What frequency did that operate at? So that probably would get through the ionosphere, but it might be close, though, near the horizon. Right, but also the just the critical angle, of course, is... Now, were you taking specular reflection from the entire hemisphere of the moon? Just from a certain center area? Well, those would be very interesting if you could send me copies of those also. Okay. Yeah, go ahead. I see. Where did the 110 megacycle frequency come from? I see. Well, tell me now, after you had made your measurements of the Milky Way, when we talked before, you mentioned that you did go up to the University of Chicago and talk to them up there. Can you tell me about that? I see. Now, did you mention your measurements? Now, did you contact Reber at all about this? His first article was not published until 1939. So, let's see now, your successful Milky Way stuff was 1940. Right, so you might have seen that. That was in the proceedings of the IRE. Now, did you ever meet Reber eventually? And when was that? Now, but was this after the war or before? I see. So you traded notes at some time. I see. And you never contacted Jansky about your measurements? But it seems a little puzzling to me, frankly, why you didn't try to make contact with some of these people. The other thing I'm interested in is that apparently, would you say this was really just sort of a scientific hobby that you had, doing these things? Yeah, because this had no real relevance to your work at the station. I suppose you might develop a little bit of equipment that might be of use or something. Okay, well, that's fascinating. Let's move on now to during World War II. Can you tell me a little bit what you worked on then? I see. But in the Pentagon. I see. Right. Right. Right.
Electronics branch of the ago. Had to be there about 6 months. With that job, I was transferred up to Fort Butler for dealer to Evans Laboratory.
Right. I see. Now, you mentioned before that you had not heard about even the whole concept of radar before the war. So this was all brand new to you when you... Right, but no real knowledge about it. Right. Sure. Now, did you ever hear about, during the war, about this J.S. Hay in England getting radio emission from the sun? Never heard of that? That was a secret report that was circulated amongst some people during the war. J.S. Hay, H-E-Y. Right. Right. I say. I see, so you made it a practical unit, more or less. Right. Uh-huh. Well, anyway, I don't want to go into too much details about that. I did want to ask you about the you spent one day trying to detect the sun. Was that the only day? Back in 1940. Right. Now, did you ever hear about Southworth's detecting the sun in 1942 at the Bell Labs? And so you knew about his experiments during the war? But of course he couldn't publish them then. I don't think there was any kind of a report or anything that was published until after the war, is that correct? From Fries, right. Who was Jansky's boss also. Mm-hmm. By the way, do you have any opinion? If you knew Fries, there's somewhat of a controversy as to whether Jansky really wanted to carry on and follow up on his work, and Fries more or less didn't let him, or whether Jansky didn't really care to do that. And do you know anything about that? Okay, well, during the war, then, you must have been thinking always in the back of your head about the lunar radar possibilities. Sure. You're right. 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 You say it barely got it? And why was that? Now, do you think there might be any records of correspondence relative to Project Diana and so forth existing anywhere? Where would that be? You've got some? Well, once again, I'd be very interested if you could send me copies of relevant letters describing the project and, you know, getting permission. And Is it a whole lot you've got, or just a few letters, or? Yeah. Right. Right. What about this fellow Webb? I see. Webb was the one that wrote the article in Sky and Telescope, I think. So I always thought that he was one of the leaders of the project. And I have heard that he is still active and working at the University of Illinois. Do you know if that's true? I haven't followed that one up yet. Uh-huh. Well, in any case, so you had a group of about 8 people working on this? 5 or 6, and what was really necessary to take the military antenna and receiver in order to convert it into a lunar radar? Uh-huh. Right. Right. Right, right. I see. At 15 cycles per second? 50 cycles per second, okay. Okay. I haven't had a chance to review that in the last few days. Okay. And was it... Now, was that successful right from the very first time? What kind of problems did you have? Uh-huh. And what frequency are you at? Uh-huh. And you were looking low. Uh-huh, right. Right. Sure, sure. Well, but this is the first time anyone's done this at all. Did you have any idea that other people might be trying at the same time? I see. And where was the Navy effort? I see. Did you ever hear about this Hungarian bay? Do you have any idea about his experiment other than the published paper? Or? Right. Bay did? Well, now that's an interesting lead. I never heard that before. But the last you know of him is in the late 40s? Huh. And he was still at NBS then? In Gaithersburg? In NBS in Gaithersburg, or? Well, the main lab is now out in a Washington suburb, so it may have been Washington, D.C. then, yeah. Okay, well, I'll check on that. Yeah, that was an amazing thing, these test tubes lined up. And extremely clever, but he was, what was he doing in Hungary? I mean, and what was that? I don't know. I see. And did you ever talk with him about how in the world he ever came up with this idea to try to bounce signals off the moon? Right. And, of course, the Russians also were trying at this time, and it turns out they got it about the same time, too. That'd be very neat if I could get a hold of this Bay. I always thought that he was a Hungarian that's never been heard from since. So he was an emigrant after the war, basically. Hmm. Well, okay, after this initial success, then what were your next steps at the Evans Lab? Yeah, sure, go ahead. Right. Uh-huh. Good heavens. No, I don't know. Uh-huh. I see. Yeah, sure, go ahead. I've been doing a lot of talking. Right. Yeah. Sure. Right, right. Right. And Duisberg was impressed, huh? Right. Yeah. I see. The press release had already gone out, huh? Right. Okay, well, once you had gotten through this hurdle, then they were willing to let you undertake a program? Okay. Now, when did that 50-foot dish come along? And you were still director of the lab during this period? Oh, I see. So. I see. Now, so who's under whose direction did the program continue? Simpson. Was he directly working on this, or who were the scientists involved? Do you remember? Okay. Now, is Stadler still alive? He still works there. But he's back now? He is back now? Do you happen to have a phone number or an address for him? Perhaps you could send that along. Okay.
That ends the interview with John DeWitt on 27 June 78 over the telephone from Fairfax County, Virginia to Nashville, Tennessee.